Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It's the football preview show. We're going to be looking ahead to the weekend's football action. We will be looking at the weekend's hurling action a little bit later on as well. But we're going to be looking at the two provincial finals taking place this weekend. We also have the Ulster football final between Donegal and Armagh. And of course, we have the Leinster final between Dublin and Loud. And of course, the Tailteann Cup throws in this weekend a couple of games to run through there. Well, a whole host of games actually to run through there as well. And as we were saying, we'll be looking ahead to the hurling games a little bit later on. Cork obviously playing Limerick. I'm sure Matthew will have a lot to say about that one. And of course, we will have obviously the Leinster games and some of the lower tier matches to discuss as well. So first up, Matthew, how's things with yourself? And great to have you on again.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on again, Aaron. It's a hectic weekend ahead of us. Like, even there was an announcement earlier today that the Saturday game is coming back, long overdue, in my opinion. When you look at the amount of games, it probably did have to be shown in the end. But a lot of uproars come this week because of the promotion of hurling and things like that, not just in the lower tier, which Peter Fortune, the low captain, actually put out some tweets earlier today. But the fact that Cork and Limerick is on GAA Go and it's hidden behind a paywall, whereas in RT, I think you have a documentary on World War II and Lonely Planet or something of that nature on RT2 on at the same time, which is mad. But look, that's the world we live in. It's GAA Go, and that's the way the Cork and Limerick is going to play out. And you'd imagine that's going to be a sellout because, like, you look at the permutations behind us, Cork have to win the game or else they're gone. And you look at Limerick's form at the moment, it looks like Cork will be in for a sticky evening, no doubt about it. But you look at the football finals, the Ulster final, really looking forward to Donegal Armagh. Interesting to see Jim McGuinness pit his wits against Kieran McGeaney once again. And then you have the event with the Seagulls, I suppose, in Croke Park and early on Sunday. That should be quite an entertaining one as well. So, a lot to get into.
Absolutely, yeah. And we might even discuss the whole GAA Go scenario a little bit later on even, because obviously it has been a big topic of discussion, obviously, over the last couple of days, as you said. Obviously, like, with the news that Cork and Limerick is obviously going to be on GAA Go. Like, you, for example, the Dublin Antrim game isn't getting shown anywhere on TV. And of course, like, the only games I think they're shown on TV this weekend are the provincial finals, in terms of men's inter-county games. So, like, they're obviously shown Dublin Loud and Armagh, Donegal. So, I think we will get into that a little bit later on, no doubt about that. Gavin says here, Honda Ross, hopefully another All-Ireland final appearance after a win against Tyrone on Saturday. Yeah, like, you do have under 20 games on this weekend as well. You really have so much to go through, really. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get through them all today. But yeah, look, we'll crack into it. We'll start with the Ulster final, Armagh versus Donegal. I suppose Armagh getting to back-to-back finals. Donegal obviously looking to win their first one since 2019. I think 2008 was the last time Armagh won this. So, I mean, absolutely huge. And I suppose as far as provincial finals go, I feel like this is the one we're all looking forward to.
And who would have thought it'd be two Division 2 teams in this final? Donegal and Armagh, obviously the two finalists as well. They played each other a grand total of three times this year, and Armagh haven't won any of them. So it might be a bit of an onus for Armagh, especially after not winning it since 2008, to go ahead and win this game. And when you look at Armagh's record, I suppose, in big encountering games, such as Donegal and Monaghan last year in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, Galway the year before, Derry in the Ulster final last season, they've always flattered to deceive in every single one of those games. And this is an opportunity for Armagh to prove the doubters wrong more than anything. And when you look at the league final, actually, Armagh were favourites for going to that game, especially with Ryan McHugh when Paddy McBrayer's there. Donegal still won the game. Paddy and Ryan are there now this Sunday, so should be an interesting one how Armagh will actually counteract that. But you could say from an Armagh point of view as well, Rian O'Neill is playing well in midfield, didn't do so in the league, so he's back in the team as well. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of team Armagh will put out. Will they put out Oisin O'Neill in midfield? Will they start him from the very beginning? Will they bring him on as an impact sub? Will they start Oisin Connolly? There's a lot of questions to be asked about these two sides. And very much looking forward to the game, considering it's a novel winner of the Ulster Championship. Obviously, Donegal have won it in 5 years now, Armagh since 2008, so that's a total of 16 years. So it's a big game for both sides, and a game to show that they can be top dogs in the All-Ireland series as well. And I don't think they'll be thinking about what group they'll be in the Sam McGuire. This is all about the Anglo South Cup here. This is about winning this Ulster title. And it's going to be a big game for both sides here.
Are Donegal going in as favourites, do you reckon, after, I suppose, what they've done so far? Like, they've obviously beaten Derry, obviously beat Tyrone, obviously, as well, on the last the last side of the draw, or on that side of the draw, obviously, a lot more difficult. So, like, Donegal, to be fair, they're coming roaring into this game, like, especially after, obviously, what they've done, you know, like, throughout the league as well. So, are Donegal coming in as favourites, in your opinion?
I think they are, and especially after beating Armagh twice this season in the pre-season competition, in the Mickeitta Cup, and also in the league final as well, and drawing against them where Armagh needed a goal to get back into the game in that particular encounter. So you would imagine Donegal are favourites going into it, and especially after their performances against Tyrone, who can turn it on when they want to in the semi-final and then get through extra time in that, winning it out. Then against Derry was a brilliant win. Whereas Armagh got to the final, like, against Fermanagh, it was really, really easy. Like, it was surprising how easy it was, an 11-point victory for them. And then the semi-final against Down, they were very underwhelming at times. And Down nearly caught them on the hop and got a win out of that game as well. So it will be an interesting game between the two. And what would be more interesting, more than anything, I think, is the midfield battle. Rian O'Neill, will he go into midfield? Like, I would imagine he will. He has done well in midfield against Fermanagh and against Down. He was man of the match against Down for a reason in the semi-final. So he'll probably go into midfield in a one-on-one battle. Like, Caelan McGonagall, I suppose, will be in midfield. Jason McGee possibly as well for Donegal. So will be an interesting one to take note of as well. As well as that, Brendan McCall in the back line has been in brilliant form for Donegal. Who will he pick up in this game? Will he pick up Andrew Murnan? Will he go on Conor Turbutt? Probably Turbutt, considering the form he has been on in big games and gone by. Oisin Connolly, who will pick up him? Will Ryan McHugh have a more free-flowing role in this team? Who will the likes of Barry McCambridge, if he plays in this game, pick up? Aaron McKay, will he go straight on to Oisin Gallen? Not sure. Paddy McBrearty, who will pick up him? Paddy Burns, possibly. So it's an interesting game, interesting one to look at, and interesting with the matchups to see as the game goes on, of course, right from the very start. And yeah, I would imagine Donegal are favourites, but only slightly. But Armagh have a lot to prove in this one, because if they lose this, it's almost like you can't prove it in big games. You're almost like a lower level Mayo, if that makes sense. Like, Mayo performed badly in All Ireland finals, but at least they can get there. Whereas Armagh haven't performed in big games other than All Ireland finals, All Ireland quarterfinals, and Ulster Championship games. This is the chance to prove the doubles wrong for the Archer men. So a lot of narratives about this one, and really looking forward to it, as I said. And yeah, I would imagine Donegal are going to be favourites.
Yeah, anyone who's tuning in, let us know your predictions, obviously, in the comments, and hit the like button and subscribe and all that good stuff. Keen says here, hi lads, Donegal to beat Armagh and win another Ulster title, while the Dubs should have too much ammunition for Louth. Denise says Donegal to win after extra time. And Gavin says, if Armagh win, that's five different winners over 6 years. Just shows how competitive Ulster is. And yeah, that's a completely fair point as well. Like, and it does show the competitive nature of the Ulster Championship. There are so many teams that feel they do have a big chance, in fairness. And you mentioned Armagh there, like, I suppose, as you said, like, in big games, it has been very hit and miss. Like, apart from, I suppose, that run they went on the qualifiers in 2022, obviously, when they beat Donegal and beat Tyrone back-to-back, they obviously beat Galway last year. Like, aside from that, and obviously they weren't really big, big games, really, like, in the sense of, like, quarterfinals or Ulster finals. But, like, for Armagh, they are a hard team to judge at the best of times, because even watching them against Down, you felt like they were a team that when they went behind, they would actually play football. They would get after teams. They would try and make it happen. But there does seem to be a very overly cautiousness about Armagh that does seem to creep in a lot of these games. And it feels like against Monaghan, I know they beat Down in the end, but in games against Monaghan, in Derry last year, you feel like those games were there to be won, and Armagh just couldn't really pull the trigger. And I thought it was similar against Down as well. Like, I thought they kind of just fell over the line rather than actually went and won the game.
When you look at actually the elements of the game against Down, they actually did well when you look at it in more depth. Like, you look at their attack, They had a 65% shot accuracy. They took 20 shots. They converted 13. And that was a pretty good, stat to get from an Armagh point of view. And as well as that, Armagh have been very poor at closing out games. And when you look at that Jason Duffy point in particular, yes, there is an argument that Andrew Murlin fouled Caelan Doherty in the build-up to that point. But the way that Armagh actually killed the clock, they kept the ball for 4 or 5 minutes and they passed it to the right man, Jason Duffy, to put it over the bar. And after that, Down didn't have any time to go up the field. And that's where Armagh fell last season. When you remember actually close in the quarterfinal against Monaghan, Rian O'Neill kicks the ball over and you're thinking, OK, Armagh are going to go and win this game. They're getting to the All-Ireland semi-final. Monaghan then go down the other end and they get a point through Conor McManus to a free and it goes to penalties and we all know the history after that. So I think Armagh did something in that Down game. Two things in particular, the shot accuracy and closing down the clock, which they haven't done so in previous games. So that's a good sign as well. And their defence as well. This is another element that Armagh should not be afraid of going for the jugular here. They've only conceded 4 goals across league and championship this season, 2 against Cork and 2 against Down. That is a sign that, okay, your defence are sorted here. Let's go for the attack here. Let's go for the jugular. This is a chance for Armagh just to get off the shackles and go for the game. Like when you look at the All-Ireland quarterfinal in particular last year against Monaghan and the Ulster final against Derry last season, yes, the games went to penalties and Armagh did well at times in the game and shot accuracy and stuff like that. But when you look at the games in full, they didn't really go for Derry's throat or Monaghan's throat last season. And that was the concerning thing from an Armagh point of view. And they do have the players, there's no doubt about it. The Stephen Campbells, the Rory Grugans, the Rian O'Neills, the Oisín O'Neills if he plays, the Jarry O'Byrnes, the Andrew Murnans, the Oisín Connolly's. They do have excellent players. Even Jamar Hall, if he comes onto the pitch, Aidan Nugent hit the brilliant point the last day against Down after coming on as a sub. They do have some excellent forwards. It's just a matter for Kieran McGeaney, for Kieran Donaghy, for Kieran McKeever, just to leave them off the leash here. Go for the game. Go for Donegal's throat. And what I will say about Donegal in particular, like if Armagh, this is an element that might win the game for Armagh in particular. Donegal, yes, brilliant win over Derry, granted. But when you look at it in broad daylight, Kevin Kennedy from the GAA Sports Track Rap made a very good point on the JMAC podcast this week. Donegal only got 15 scores against Derry. When you look at it in broad daylight, Derry got 17. It was the goals that killed Derry that day, and Donegal scored 4. And when you look at the Armagh side, the defensive side, and flip the coin, they've only conceded 4 goals across league and championship. And 2 of those goals, to be fair to them, against Cork, they were trying new things in Parky Cave. 2 of them were when they really mattered against Down in the Ulster semi-final. But maybe that was just Down going for a throat and Armagh losing a bit of concentration. You would imagine Kieran McGeaney will not let these players lose concentration in an Ulster final. So I would say for Armagh, go for Donegal's throat, get some points on the board, maybe nick a goal as well, and you could be on the verge to victory here. Because you look at Donegal's record in the past few games, especially in the big game against Derry, they rely on goals. And if Armagh prevent Donegal, prevent Darragh O'Buil, Jamie Brennan, Paddy McBrearty, Oisín Gallan getting sufficient space on the forward line to hit the back of the net, I do think Armagh have a chance of winning this game. But a lot of things have to go Armagh's way, number one. And number two, they have to do things properly. Starting off by going off on for Donegal's throat. And that's what Armagh need to do to go and win it.
Yeah, and I suppose the narrative out there is that this will be a very overly cautious game. Like, this will be two sides that will be keeping the ball for large parts. It'll be overly tactical, maybe overly defensive. Maybe in a similar way a little bit, I think, to the Donegal-Tyrone game. And to be fair, when you look at, obviously, how Donegal have approached the last two games, and I suppose how things have gone for Armagh in a lot of these games as well, like, you do get the feeling this probably will be overly cautious, overly tactical, and it might be a case of who flinches first. But at the same time, like, an early goal could maybe open it up or something of that nature. But would you agree with that trend that this maybe will be a bit of a very cautious game?
When you look at the Lee Foyle, it certainly looked that way. Like, Donegal were kind of keeping it to their own cards close to their chest. So were Armagh in that game as well. I don't think it'll be like the league final. Like, the league final, there was a lot of shadow boxing, and they probably knew in their heads if Donegal got over the Derry threat, which they ended up doing. But I don't know, did Donegal expect them to, Donegal fans in particular, expect them to get over Derry? But there was always the possibility that Donegal would beat Armagh in an Ulster final. So I can understand from that point of view why they were playing kind of tactics that wouldn't, that would bamboozle the opposition, if that made sense. So in this Ulster final, they won't go against each other, I think, until an All-Ireland semi-final at least. So I think it's an opportunity for both of them to go hammer and tongs for this. I think it's an opportunity to go hell for leather. And I do think both sides will do that, because when you look at Jim McGuinness's record in the Ulster Championship, it's a very proud record as manager. He's been in four Ulster Championships before the season. He's won three of them. If he is to win a fourth, that's an 80% Ulster win rate. And that's the toughest championship out of all the four provinces. So that's a record that Jim McGuinness wants to keep intact. And having said that as well, Kieran McGeaney needs to win a trophy. Because you look at his times as Kildare and Armagh manager, and yes, he has produced some very good sides with Kildare, with the likes of Dermot Early, Johnny Doyle, Andrew McLaughlin, Hugh McGrill and all them players, but they still didn't win an Ulster title. And likewise with Armagh, the Stephen Campbells, the Rian O'Neills, the Rory Gruens, they still haven't won an Ulster title. So I'm sure both managers would want that Ulster title back in their back pocket. Simple as that. So I think, honestly, it'll be a game where both sides will go for it head for leather. I don't think both sides will go defensive input or whatsoever. If they are going to be serious about winning an Ulster title, I think both sides are going to go for it. So I honestly think I'm optimistic. I think this will be a very good game and should be a very interesting watch.
Yeah, to be fair, when we have saw Donegal, I don't agree with the narrative that it's, you know, McGuinness as it was 10 years ago. Like, I think when you watch Donegal against Derry, like when they had the ball, they went for it. You know, you had deep runners from deep, they were moving the ball quickly. And obviously, Kevin Kennedy, as you're saying, like, he's highlighted the point with Donegal in terms of taking shots. Like, Donegal are a team that shoots very quickly and shoots on instinct. I think it could be maybe a little bit similar to the Mayo Galway game, but at a higher pace, a higher intensity. In the sense of, I think the longer the game goes on, the more it will open up. And I think, as you said, like, Armagh's shooting accuracy has been brilliant. Donegal are creating a whole host of chances. So I think, it will go down to the war, no doubt about it. In terms of calling it, in terms of making a prediction, who would you back?
A lot of things have to go Armagh's way to go on and win it, and they have to produce the right tactics. Do I think they'll do it on the day? I think they have to attempt to do it to go on and win it. I do think Donegal are on a different level though this season. They look really, really good. Look at the Derry game. As you mentioned there, rightly so. They have runners from deep. They were going for Derry's throat. And they will do the same to Armagh as well. So I'm going to go for Donegal. And there is the possibility this game could go to penalties. And I think if it goes to penalties, we all know what will happen there. So there's more of a chance that Donegal win the game. So I'm going to go for Donegal here.
Yeah, it's a very hard one to call, to be honest. Like, I have a feeling Armagh might do it. I have a feeling they might do it. But at the same time, as you said, it is that McGuinness effect in Ulster. Like, the fact that he has such a great record in this competition. After coming through Derry and Tyrone, don't get me wrong, I would put Armagh a little bit better than Tyrone right now. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, I think it's going to go down to the war. I think extra time could be needed. I think penalties could be needed again. Who knows? But I think I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm going to go to 1-point win for Donegal to narrowly do it. But we'll have to wait and see. A few comments coming in here. Denise says, Aaron, well done on a brilliant feature on the GAA Hour. Yeah, thank you very much. It was great to be asked on. It was great to be asked back. And I should hopefully be on there for the next couple of weeks at least. So at least that's something good. I know a lot of you probably listened to me already on here, so if you want to hear a bit more of me, I'm obviously over there as well, so happy days. But yeah, Richie says, after last year, Armagh could have something to prove and get over the line, and Armagh to win by a point or two would be a very attacking game. With the limited tickets through clubs, do you think this should be in Croke Park? It's an interesting topic. I've seen a few people maybe mention that. Like, I feel like it's just the travel. It just probably is a bit of an inconvenience for fans from that part of the country to be traveling all the way down to Dublin. Like, it's, you know, like, what, I don't know what that is driving now. What, 3 hours, give or take, you know, depending on whether you're coming from Donegal or Armagh, maybe similar, maybe 3-4 hours. So it is quite a huge distance. Like, to be fair, you probably would get 60,000-70,000 in there, but probably distance wise, maybe it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, know, and especially with the time of year it is as well. There'll be schools on, there'll be colleges on, and things like that as well. And there are people going back to work on the Monday morning. And considering the time that the game is on is 4 o'clock on a Sunday, I think it would be ludicrous to have the game in Dublin. So, yeah, I think Clonus is the right venue for it. And yeah, Ulster finding Clonus, you can't really complain. The atmosphere, the colour, everything there is absolutely outstanding. And the boys were mentioning on the JMAP podcast during the week, if Casement does get built in time and things like that in the next few years, maybe more Ulster finals can be in Casement, and Casement's projected to be a big stadium. So hopefully that'll be the case for Ulster fans in the next few seasons, that you'd have two grounds that you could be proud of to hold Ulster finals in the next few seasons.
Yeah, Richie says Clonus is tradition now, and Keane says here it's the perfect venue. Yeah, I think it is, in fairness, and like, it has been traditionally always there, and yeah, I'd agree. I think the atmosphere, obviously, it produces as well is off the charts, in fairness. So long may that continue. The other provincial final, Dublin versus Louth, Ger Brennan versus Desi Farrell. I do think it's the first time ever that you've had two Dublin men manage against each other in the Leinster Senior Football Championship final. But I think maybe it's happened in Leinster with two Kerry men. I think, was it Paddy O'Shea and Mick O'Dwyer going up against each other in 2004, I think it was, wasn't it? So you've obviously had it with men from other counties. But yeah, look, it's I think we all would expect Dublin will win. Do Louth have any chance? Can Louth do anything maybe to upset the odds and spoil the 14 in a row?
You know what? I think the major winners in this game will be the team that contains the lot of seagulls, I think, honestly. It should be a very good game for them, open space and everything like that. It should be entertaining for them. And they'll get a lot of scraps and everything like that, and they will flourish from it. But look, in all seriousness, Dublin are winning this game. And we have talked in detail about the Leinster Championship and things like that. And Seamus Brady from Eau Claire, our good friend, made some very good points on this. You wouldn't go into a movie and know the end of it already before walking in. So why would you go into this game? Seriously. And yes, Lowe might bring colour and things like that, but they're going to get a tanking. And I think it's obvious at this stage what will happen on Sunday. And it's almost a fact, like, you'd question, why is the Leinster Ladies Football Championship final on a 11:45 and this game is on a 11:45?
Yeah,
that's it's mad. the Leinster Council, everybody. But look, Dublin are winning this game. But it's a question, what will Dublin actually learn from this? I don't think much, to be honest with you. It's a hard one to judge. Like, Samuel Roy might get a few nice points here or there. Kieran Downey might as well. Ryan Burns and things like that. Loud have got a good spread of scores so far this season. They've scored 20 goals all season, and they have done well attack-wise, but I think it's an obvious result, isn't it? Dublin are going to win this game, and I don't think Louth have any chance of winning this game. And yeah, even the GAA put out the groups during the week. I know you see that, Aaron, saying Dublin Mayo will be in one group, and they even know themselves that Louth are losing this game. So why are we even speculating that Louth will go on and win this game? But the GAA are saying, oh yeah, Dublin are winning this game anyway, so we may as well put them in the group with me already. And that'll be that.
Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous though, isn't it, though, at the same time, with the fact that, like, they are doing that. Like, fair enough, look, I think we all would very much know that Dublin are going to win the game, very much like Kerry are going to be clear. I think we all very much expected it. And I think, you know, it would be probably one of the biggest Gaelic football shocks, probably the biggest, in all honesty, if it was to actually happen. But yeah, like, I mean, why are the GAA just going and doing that? Like, they're almost admitting right there and then that they know there's a problem. They know there's an issue. And they don't seem to want to address it, which is mad.
It's unreal, more than anything. And even look at some posts during the week out of the last few Leinster finals, and only two of them have been single-digit margins, and both of them involved Kildare. In 2021, when Dublin were absolutely terrible that season, and Kildare, under Jack O'Connor, by the way, could have gone for Dublin's throat that season. So maybe it's something that Kildare will regret in time. And the one where Daniel Flynn was absolutely outstanding in 2017. Those were the only two finals where it was only single digits. So that just epitomises the problems in the Leinster Championship at the moment. And Yeah, it's just ridiculous at this stage. You just know what's going to happen. Now we might get a few nice scores here or there. Will Loud even score a goal? Despite, like, they have scored 20 goals this campaign, but will they score a goal in this game? I'm even not sure of that. I don't think they will, to be honest with you. I think this might be a game where Dublin just shut up the Doublers. They'll go for goal earlier on. Paul Mannion or somebody, or Colin Baskell or somebody like that, will hit the back of the net within 5 minutes and the game's done. Simple as. So I just don't see anything other than Dublin winning this. And it's all about for Dublin preparing for the next few weeks, starting off with Ross. Dublin are playing Roscommon if they win this game in a few weeks' time. So it's all about preparing for that, and Loud in particular. It's all about preparing for Meath in a few weeks as well for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, like, even the fact that these tickets, and I obviously highlighted this on the GAA Hour show as well. Like, I mean, the fact, like, the tickets are €40, like, to be fair, like, is absolutely mental as well. Like, it's absolutely crazy stuff. €40 for a sitting ticket, €30 for a stand ticket. And look, obviously, you do have Dublin Mead ladies football game obviously on before it, and to be fair, as I've said previously, I think that game alone would probably draw a bigger attendance than the men's football final, in my opinion, like, just given how good those games have been in the last couple of years. But can Loud take any confidence from what Clare done to Kerry? Because everyone was expecting Kerry to win that game, you know, by 15, 20 points. And I know maybe the difference is that game was in Cusick Park and Ennis, and this one's in Croke Park. But can Loud maybe, take some sort of confidence from that, in the sense that if Clare can do that to Kerry, maybe we can do it to the Dubs? I'm clutching at straws a little bit here, but can Leo take any confidence from that, maybe?
You're really clutching at straws here, Aaron. I don't see it, honestly. I don't see Loud winning this game, in all honesty. Like, you look at, there's a few differences in this. Number one is the game was on a Cusick Park and this is on a Croke Park, and maybe the Leinster Council could say something under the Munster Council. Play this game in Park Talton, or play it in Tullamore, or play it in Port Leash. Don't play it in Croke Park where it's open spaces and all that, and Dublin are going to rip them to asunder. And then number two as well, Dublin are performing better this year than Kerry are, and that proved it in the league game in Croke Park as well. So yeah, I think it's honestly clutching at straws, aren't there? Trying to deflect it, that Loud could go on and win the game, but no, they won't. Simple as. I think Dublin should run all over them. And for Loud, it's just about preparing for the All Ireland Championship. And just to know for future self, for the next championship in future, play these games outside Croke Park. Give the likes of Meath, the likes of Kildare, the likes of Loud a bit of a chance in actually putting up to Dublin. Like, maybe the Leinster Council could lure something from the Munster Council, the Connacht and Ulster, so forth. But as well as that, I believe strongly Meath are the second best team in Leinster, and they lost by 16 to Dublin. So I can't imagine what will happen on Sunday. So yeah, I just feel that Dublin will hammer Loud in this game. But it's something maybe that the Leinster Council could learn from the Munster Council, what they did last week, because Clare made it into a battle against Kerry, and they didn't let anything easy go for the Kingdom that day. The Leinster Council have to learn something from that. If Dublin are going to keep playing Croke Park in the quarter and the semi-final and the final, even the final, I just feel the Leinster Championship will die a death. I don't think anybody would care if it actually leaves us. So yeah, we're in that stage now where we're talking about a game and we know the result already. It's just a shame.
Yeah, Richie says here, fair play to Loud. They've been very consistent in their development. Great achievement. Gavin says last year was Loud's first final since 2010. Just with more experience, hopefully Loud can make it tighter than last year. Richie also says here, GA Council has proven now that they can't come up with common sense format. Ridiculous championship now. Times and coverage are also a joke for many county teams. Aidan says, what happens if Dublin and Kerry both go to Connacht? I think, like, yeah, you're then kind of getting into the situation where do you just scrap them all together or just make two inter-provincial championships, you know, like Munster and Connacht can come together, or Munster and Connacht can come together, and Ulster and Leinster. I don't know, I have no idea, but yeah, Jack says they would dominate, but not as much, and Denise says Dublin by 12 points. Yeah, it will be interesting, like, because Jared Brennan, obviously, like, he knows Dublin better than anyone, really. Like, you know, like, and he knows, obviously he doesn't know a lot of the lads out there, in fairness, because obviously the team has changed quite significantly, obviously, since he was last playing. But, like, looking at Loud, as you said, they have been very attacking. Like, 20 goals is obviously what they've scored in both league and championship. Like, they're averaging nearly 2 goals a game. Like, they haven't really been, like, under Mickey Hart, they came to Croke Park last year and we all thought they were going to sit in and be defensive. And then they went for Dublin and they got absolutely blown to pieces. So, like, I'm looking at how Loud have played and the bits and bobs I've seen from them. They're not going, I can't see them coming to Dublin and just getting every man behind the ball and trying to keep the score down. So it's going to be interesting. Like, I feel like they are going to go for Dublin, but at the same time, could it then end up a 10, 15 point hammering? You know, like, what way do you think Loud should approach this?
That's exactly how it'll end up, because Loud try, like, when you look at 2022, for example, this, I know Loud didn't play in the final, but it was Kildare against Dublin, and Kildare beat Dublin, if you remember, in the Allianz League that year. And Glenn Ryan's team decided to play man-on-man in Croke Park, and Dublin scored 4 or 5 goals in the first half. Game, set, match, done. So if Lowe do that, it'll be just like on-the-pitch suicide, honestly. You cannot play man-on-man against Dublin in Croke Park, in the wide open space and stuff like that. You just can't do that. And I think Joe Brennan would actually be... The thing is, like, I'll counteract that, Richie. Like, there was a comment made by Tommy Rooney from Off the Ball about this. And you look at the minor championships during the week, Kildare almost beat Dublin last night, and fair play to them. I don't know how Longford will get on in the minor final. Well done to Longford for beating Loud last night as well. Just a shameless plug there. But when you look at the last 4 of the 20 championships in Leinster, you had Meath winning it, you had 2 for Kildare and 1 for Offaly since 2021. But Tommy Rooney from Off the Ball made a very good point in this. The psychological damage to Leinster counties is already done here. It's almost like the likes of Jack Bryant, the likes of Shane Farrell, the likes of Tomás Van Ingebrigtsen, the likes of Jordan Morris, the likes of Matthew Costello, these young players, young exuberant players, Carver Keegan, another for Offaly, who played number 5 in the semi-final. These sorts of players, they play with freedom in under 20, but as soon as they come up to senior, these Dublin players just know how to win games, and it's almost like psychological damage is done here. And you look at Jack Bryan now the other day, Cormac Egan the other day against Dublin, they were just mostly outclassed. And that's just the shame of it. And it's the same thing that will happen to Loud. And I'm sure there are good players coming out through the Loud ranks, the likes of Sean Reynolds and Kieran McArdle from the under 20 team. But they will go up to senior and play against Dublin. It's just like, whoa, this is a whole different ballpark, whole different game here. And what I will say about Dublin, like, Brian Fenton didn't do well in under 20 and minor. He's always one of the best players in the country. Owen Merchant didn't really do much under 20 and minor either. Still one of the best cornerbacks of the country. You still have loads of other players like Padraig Coughlin-Byrne, who lost an under 20 final heavily to Cork, is now in the Dublin panel and finds it easy enough. Larkin O'Dell lost an under 20 final to Galway, still doing well in the forward line. Ross McGarry lost an under 20 final to Cork, still excelling in this Dublin team. Like, you see what I mean, Aaron? It's just they go into this environment and it's almost like it's a different ball game. And the Leinster counties just can't do anything about it at this stage. And Tommy Rooney, I think, is absolutely right on this. I think psychological damage might just be done for these Leinster counties. It's just a shame, because there are some very good young players in Offaly, in Loud, in Meath, in Kildare, in Wexford, and they just get, and Longford, to be fair, the minors. But they just get blown aside then once it comes to senior. And that's just the harsh reality of it.
Yeah, I think Dublin structures are so good that, like, even if there are a few players who get lost in translation, they'll still always... And there's such a, you know, like, it's so appetizing to play for Dublin as opposed to other counties, because you know you're going to be competing for All Ireland. You know you're going to be playing the majority of your games in Croke Park, as an example. Whereas for the other counties, it isn't that appetizing, really, when you actually break it down. Like, I do think the other counties, like, they should more so be looking at what the likes of Monaghan are doing, what the likes of Sligo have been doing recently in terms of making use of limited resources. But in terms of obviously competing with Dublin, like, I do agree, it's you know, it's absolutely night and day, in fairness. So yeah, how many points do you think then? 21 points last year. I do think it'll be less. I think it'll be about 12 or 13 points, because I do think Loud do have a very good attack, and I think they will Dublin will still score probably 3-4 goals and put up a big margin, but I do think Loud will score enough to keep it below 15 anyway.
I think it'll be balling the money 15. I think it will be, but just in Loud's attack, they have scored 20 goals and well done to them, and they will do well in the All-Irelands, and they will get some joy off Bonham and Meath in the group stage because of the goal game that they can get. And that's a positive that Gerard Brennan and his team can take forward. But it's about, in this particular game against Dublin, if they are to produce goal chances, those forwards need to get the ball. And the donkey work will be done by the halfbacks, the midfielders for Loud, the full back line as well in particular. And I just feel they won't get the quality supply of ball into the likes of Sam Mulroy, the likes of Kieran Downey, often enough. And I just feel it'll be a comfortable afternoon for Dublin that way. I think it'll be less than 21 points. I think it'll be safe enough to say that. Well, hopefully, anyway, you're just hoping that Loud put up a test at least in the first half of this. But I'm going to go for 15 points on the money.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for 12. But do let us know in the comments. Can Gerard Brennan, can he be a Dublin man who goes and ends Dublin's long stint in Leinster? That will be quite the story. But I think we're both in agreement very much that that will not happen. Tailteann Cup this weekend. We'll obviously go through plenty of the games there. But I suppose first of all, like, the Tailteann Cup is back obviously for a third year. In the first two seasons, we obviously saw a lot of great things about the Tailteann Cup, a lot of great games and everything else. Are you happy to see it back for a third year?
Yeah, and I think it, like Jarlath Byrne said during the week, the GAA president, it is an opportunity for these counties to stand up and count it, and it's an opportunity for them to win a trophy and things like that as well. The likes of Sligo in particular, like, they came so close in that kind of final, semi-final, didn't they, against Galway. Galway went on to win the kind of final. I weirdly think it was a heartbreaking moment for Tony McEntee's side there, but it will give them the confidence to say, we can win this Tailteann Cup, lads. We are well capable of doing it. For Man at the same, like, they do have brilliant players, but it's about the attitude that they bring to the Tailteann Cup. Kildare as well, what side will they put up against Longford at the weekend? Will they put up a second team? Will they put up a first team? Dark Hiermon did media duties during the week, so that's probably a good sign from a Kildare point of view. And then you look at other teams as well. Down, you feel like they have to win this competition. They're going along nicely under Conor Laverty, but you'd have to imagine after 3 years in this competition, they have to go and win this competition if they are to make any serious strides. In terms of dark horses, Wexford could be one, I think, when you look at the goals that they're getting in certain games in the league and the championship. They absolutely obliterated Carlow in the Leinster Championship, for example. And you have other teams as well. Leitrim, it'll be interesting to see how they get going in the Tailteann Cup. The likes of Leash, the likes of Wicklow, Carlow, that should be a very good group actually for Manor. Leash, Wicklow, Carlow, probably a group of debt there. So yeah, I think it should be an interesting competition, the Tailteann Cup, and yeah, looking forward to it, more or less.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, just reminding people of the groups for people who maybe haven't saw them yet. So Group 1 is Kildare, Leitrim, Longford and Waterford. Group 2 is Sligo, Antrim, Wexford and Tipperary. Group 3, Fermanagh, Laois, Wicklow and Carlow. And Group 4 is Down, Offaly, Limerick and London. How it works is the group winners will go straight through to the quarterfinals. The runners-up will play the third-place teams, and it will be the three best-placed third-place teams. So there'll be a preliminary round, and New York will come in there as well to play the second-place team. So yeah, we'll go through the games. I suppose a lot of the games maybe are quite one-sided, which probably means there's not a huge amount to discuss, really. But Kildare-Longford, first up in Hawkfield, interesting enough. As we were saying before we went live, I mean, there's only, 1,000 fans that can be at this. Obviously, St. Connolly's Park in Newbridge is under construction still. So a little bit interesting. Kildare surely are going to win this. Like, surely they're going to get back on track. I know Longford have caused a few problems here and there under Paddy Christie in Division 4, but like, there has to be a big difference between these two. And you feel like if Kildare don't win this, then by God, like, how far really have they fallen?
It's almost like if Kildare don't win this game, it's almost like, what more can we do to help you guys? Seriously. Like, no disrespect to Longford. They do have good young players like Joseph Hagan, Oren Kenny and all them. And they did reach a minor final during the weekend at the week of the Leinster final. And that might give the seniors a bit of impetus to go on and win this game as well. But for Kildare, if they play their first team in this, they should win this comfortably. because they do have brilliant players like Daniel Flynn, like Jarek Earman, like Kevin O'Callaghan in midfield, like Kevin Feely. If they all stick by this Talton Cup project, I think Kildare could go far into this competition. And what I will say from a Kildare point of view, it's all, I've said it all year, it's all about confidence. It's not like the players aren't trying really well. I thought he was singing along for the win there. I was like, geez, like how far can Kildare fall there? But I think Kildare will this game quite comfortably in the end. Longford should put it up to it spells in the first half, but Kildare should have much more energy in this. And when you look at the players there, if Kildare don't win the Talton Cup, and same applies more or less to Down as well, if Kildare don't win the Talton Cup, like what are you at? And Glen Ryan almost certainly is gone if they don't win this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think they have to be considered one of the favourites. I will have a Talchin Cup predictions video out later in the week, so make sure to tune into that, and we'll obviously discuss who I do think will end up winning it. But Richie Ryan says here, any Kildare players leave the squad? It is interesting. I haven't really heard anything, to be honest with you. But you were kind of looking at it and thinking, could it be a similar situation, obviously, with Meath in terms of change of players? Great opportunity to introduce more under 20 players, because not many of them have really made the breakthrough, and you feel like this is the perfect chance. So, yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. You're going with Kildare by how many points?
I'm going to go for Kildare by 8 points.
I'm going to go for a 3-point win. I think this will be a little bit nervy. I think they will struggle to put Longford away, but they'll still do enough to come out the other end. Other game in the group, Leitrim against Waterford. I mean, Leitrim fairly convincingly, I think we would both go over here.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Leitrim this. And hopefully from a Waterford point of view, hopefully they go on and win one game at least in the Talton Cup. I'd love it for it to happen. Like Tom O'Connell, Quivin Walsh, all they might have got a bit more confidence as the Munster campaign went on. The win over Tipperary must have given them a lot of confidence to go on and say, we could beat Leitrim, we could beat Longford. I think Longford is the best bet to win a game for Waterford. I think Leitrim should be too good for this. And adds to the fact as well, Leitrim haven't played in, what is it, a month, Aaron? So, you can slowly go. So yeah, I'd say Leitrim should win this game quite comfortably in the end.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it will be fairly convincing there for Leitrim. I'll probably go with about a 9-point win there for Leitrim. Group B, Sligo versus Wexford. I suppose like there are a lot of games this week that maybe probably are very predictable, but this is actually one of them where it could potentially go either way, just with the fact that, look, I know Sligo obviously have made a huge amount of progress. They nearly beat Galway, but Wexford are coming in with a bit of momentum. I know they obviously lost to Loud, but when you look at how good they were playing against Division 4 sides, they were going quite well. Like, I still think Sligo will do enough to get the victory, but this might be one of them games where Wexford, like, if there's going to be an upset this weekend in the Talchin Cup, you feel like maybe this might be it.
Yeah, and it's not the reason that many would think. It's because Sligo are performing well at the moment and should be given their flowers and things like that. But Wexford are doing really well when you look at their form throughout the league and throughout the championship. And against Loud, they gave them some problems, especially in that first half in Portlaoise. Loud pulled away in the end, but Loud are just a better pedestal to Wexford this year. But you would expect Sligo to win the game. I think it'll be by 4 points, though. It's not Sligo are bad or anything. I think Sligo are one of the favourites for this competition. I just feel Wexford could be a dark horse in this. I think they could be really, really good. And when you look at actually going back to last season, they actually hammered Offaly. I remember they took, like, I don't know, what was it? They had 23 points from play in that particular game, if memory serves it correctly, or 22 or something like that. Something crazy. So, like, if Wexford could produce that performance against Offaly, they can, of course, go on and win this game in Markovic Park. But I just think Sligo, after that performance against Galway, it might give them the confidence. The young players as well, like Hannes Mulligan in midfield, Josh Finney, I don't know, is he playing in this game? Luke Barrett, I think, is staying in under 20 this season, but they still have some very good players in the older age, like the likes of Niall Murphy, Sean Carabine, Adam McLaughlin, and others as well. Paul McNamara in the back line, Derek Cummins. So, yeah, I would think Sligo will go on and win the game, but Wexford will make it difficult for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Denise says here, Kildare by 5, Leitrim by 13. Wexford versus Sligo draw, and Gaelic Guy says Sligo 2-15, Wexford 1-16. Quality comes true, but Wexford will give them a great game. And Jack says If we had more players available, we could beat them. But Kildare advantage, Kildare home advantage swings a Kildare by 4 in relation to the Kildare Longford game. Yeah, I'll go with Sligo as well. I'll go with a 3-point win for Sligo. But I do think this is the two best teams in this group, in my opinion. I actually do fancy Wexford to finish in second and Sligo actually to finish in first. Antrim will have a bit to say about that, though, in fairness. And Antrim have done very well in Division 3. And at home against Tipperary in Corrigan Park, this should be a fairly comfortable win. Unfortunately, Tipperary, as we know, have fallen off quite a bit. Be interested to see if Conor Sweeney is back, like he did come off the bench versus Waterford the last day. So if they could have him back and if he was even starting, I think that would be huge for Tipperary. But you would fancy Antrim to win this.
Oh, you'd have to, definitely. You'd fancy Antrim to win this at a canter, especially being at home in Corrigan Park. But for Antrim, they've had a few injury problems. And I think against Down, if memory serves me correctly, they were missing a player from the match day 26 and they couldn't actually replace him because of the injuries that they had been hit with, according to the BBC and Thomas Niblock and all them. So that is kind of a serious state of affairs for Antrim, and it just shows the thinness of the squad there, which could be a worry, but I think they are good enough players to pull through. As for Tipperary, they did lose to Waterford, but what I will say from a Tip point of view, it will be interesting to see if Sean O'Connor comes back into the team, number one. He wasn't there against Waterford. If he comes back from injury, top scorer in the Sigurdsson Cup, like if he comes back in, like they could actually get better. And number two as well, it'd be interesting to see if Oran Jones from the under-20s is back into this team, because he was, when Tipperary went over that championship in particular, he was the top scorer overall in that championship with Kieran McArthur from Loud and Hugh O'Connor from Cork and Cormac Dillon from Kerry and all them. It would be interesting to see if he's went up to the seniors now that the under-20s are gone out of the Munster championship. So it'd be interesting that dynamic. I think Paul Kelly has to bring through these young players, because the Tip under-20s actually did pretty well in the under-20 championship against both Kerry and Cork. So there is potential in Tipperary. Of course, there is the hurling and the football divide and things like that as well. But I think Antrim should win the game. But it'll be interesting to see what Tipperary team actually is presented to us on Saturday.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think Antrim will be stronger, but I do think Tipperary, with some of those players back, could definitely give them a good game, no doubt about that. Evelyn says here, lads, do the Tailteann Cup groups operate the same as the All-Ireland groups? Very much the same, but the only difference is it's the best third-place teams. So the three best third-place teams go into the preliminary rounds, as opposed to all four. And the main reason for that is just to allow New York to come in. I do think they should just put New York in the group stage, personally. I don't know what you think. Like, I think it would be better just to put them in there, but I suppose there is that argument of the cost it would, you know, take to bring them over and bring teams back and forth and everything else. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's two sides to this argument. You want New York to play as much games as possible, but then when you look at the travel expenses to go from New York to Dublin Airport, and then more travel expenses to go down to a certain venue as well. Like, New York played against Carlow last season in the Tailteann Cup preliminary quarterfinals, and imagine the cost there, and multiply that by 3 or 4. Like, that's going to be a big cost for a team like New York that is well abroad, more than anything. Like, that's a different continent altogether. Like, that's like bringing, I'd say, this, for example, that's bringing like Sydney to play in the Tailteann Cup for 3 games. Like, it'd be just absurd. It would be. So, yeah, I think New York needs more pressure cooker games, but at the same time, there is travel expenses and things like that. There's also the All-Ireland Junior Championship as well, which New York would take part in regularly as well, with the likes of Kilkenny, London and Warwickshire in that competition. So you have to think about that as well. So yeah, I think, honestly, it's the right thing that they're doing at the moment, putting them in the preliminary quarterfinal, considering costs and things like that. But maybe it could be an option to explore as the years go on, if New York get more comfortable playing more games.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to Group 3 then, we have Fermanagh versus Wicklow first up here. Again, another game that maybe could be a little bit close, like given the fact that Wicklow obviously, you know, came or had a very good Leinster Championship campaign. Like, obviously, they beat Westmeath. They came very, very close, obviously, to beating Kildare. Going away to Fermanagh, though, like in Enniskillen, Brewster Park, I presume this is where this game is being played. You'd imagine Fermanagh will have too much. Like, obviously, coming down from Division 2, like, let's not forget they're relegated, but they're relegated with 5 points. So you would expect Fermanagh to be too strong here.
Yeah, he would, but at the same time, Fermanagh didn't take this competition seriously last season, and look what happened. They lost to Laois, they drew against Wexford, they were very close to losing against Leitrim. So it's about the temperament that Fermanagh actually put up. I think if both sides play to their full ability, I think Fermanagh should win this game and comfortably maybe about 5 or 6 points. But if Fermanagh drop the ball, I think there's an opportunity for Wicklow to get a win or a draw here. So it should be an interesting one to see. But for right now, not seeing the teams and the temperaments and things like that, I would back Fermanagh just about. But like it honestly depends on the attitude of Kieran Donnelly's men here.
Absolutely does. Yeah, no, I'd back for Manor as well. But to be fair, like Wicklow coming in with huge momentum, to be fair. Like I know they lost to Kildare, but like they came very, very close to winning that. And in fairness, like Oisín McConville, I think, is making progress with Wicklow. And I do think they will be dark horses for this competition. No doubts about that. Gaelic guy says here for Manor, 17 points, Wicklow 110. I like Wicklow, but for Manor should prevail. Yeah, you put that exactly the way I would have put it, to be fair. I think Fermanagh just about to come through it. Laois against Carlo should be comfortable for Laois, you'd imagine.
Possibly, but at the same time, this is a Leinster derby, so anything can happen in this. So, and Carlo are not a pushover. Like, they aren't a pushover like a Waterford, a Tip, or a London. Like, Carlo will put it up to every team in this group. They have Dara Foley.
They've got a good record in the competition as well. They've pulled off a few surprise wins here and there, haven't they?
And they've got to two quarterfinals in a row in this competition. So they know how to win in this. So I wouldn't back against Carlo as much as many people are saying. I do think Laois should win the game. I think they'll win this by 2 points. I think it would be a tight one throughout. Won't be surprised if Carlo put it off, though, because Carlo have a tendency in this competition to rise their level. So, yeah, I think Carlo might be a bit at the weekend that Carlo could win this game. So, yeah, might be one to look at. But, yeah, I'd go for Laois to win this game.
Yeah, I go at Laois. I think I'll go at Laois there by 6 or 7 points. And then the last group, two very self-explanatory games here, in my opinion. Down versus Limerick and Offaly versus London. You'd expect both Down and Offaly to win comfortably. Like, Offaly were actually in the Tailteann Cup with London last year, and they beat them quite comfortably. Down have obviously beaten Limerick quite comfortably already in the league as well. So you would fancy Down and Offaly to probably comfortably get out of this group, but definitely most certainly comfortably win both of those two games at the weekend.
Yeah, don't absolutely obliterate Limerick, and I think that's not even a question. I think that's just obvious. Look, Limerick football, it's in a tough state at the moment. They did put it up to Cork at some stages in the Munster Championship, but Down will take this seriously right from the very off. So I think Down should win that comfortably. As for Offaly, London, like Offaly do have some very good players, but they do have a tendency when they're favourites to drop the ball a bit. So I could see London maybe causing a shock and getting a few points here or there in the first half, but I think the likes of Jack Bryan, the likes of Cormac Egan, the likes of Cian Farrell, if he does play in this game, Jordan Hayes, I think that should be enough for Offaly to get over the line. But it's about temperament again. Offaly has to be up for this right from the very off. If they're not, London might catch them on the hop.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is interesting, all right, like with Limerick and London in there. Like, do you reckon London could maybe finish in third place? I mean, obviously it depends on, you know, how the other third place teams obviously get on, but it's not exactly impossible for London, in fairness, given the form of Limerick.
Exactly. Limerick, by my calculations anyway, have lost, I think, 12 games in a row, getting back to last season. So that confidence can't be good in the camp. And I, of course, I'd want to do Limerick to do well. I think there's a good club championship there with Adair and Newcastle West and things like that. There are some good players available to them, like Ian Corbett, like Danny Nettle. But the confidence might start to drain as the results come. And they're facing London in the last game of the season, in the last game of this group. By then, they could lose 14 games in a row, conceivably. So, like, that could knock the stuffing out of players. But having said that, in the last two games, against Offaly, they could have beat them in the league. And against Cork, they were leading at half-time in Barkinghead. So I do think maybe Jimmy Lee has got through to these players a little bit. And maybe Limerick could be better by the time London comes to town on the last day. So, yeah, it should be an interesting one to delve into. But I think Limerick should have enough in that last game to beat London anyway. And if they don't, then there's something seriously wrong with Limerick football at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. So that very much wraps up the football action then. So, yeah, anyone who's tuned in, up until this point. Let us know your predictions, obviously, in the comments and everything else, and we'll obviously crack on with the hurling action. So Cork versus Limerick taking place in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Massive game, obviously, in the Munster Hurling Championship. If Cork lose, that is them gone, done and dusted. And obviously Limerick, a win for them would obviously very much put them into the Munster final. A win for Cork definitely puts them back in the equation in terms of getting out. Matthew, do Cork have any chance here?
It's not like a load of Dublin situation where this game is just going to be over within half an hour or something like that. I think Cork have the players to challenge Limerick in some aspects of the game. But at the same time, the Cork performed nearly to the best of their ability in the Gaelic ground last season. 76% shot accuracy, 77% are in and around that number, and Limerick still won. So that's the worry from a Cork point of view. But worth noting as well for the listeners, Cork have to win this game. A draw won't be enough. I've checked the calculations. A draw and a loss won't be enough. If we draw or lose, we're out at the championship. So these players have to step up. And this is the time to do it. There's no doubt about it. There's nowhere to hide now. But a bit of a caveat now for the Cork camp. Kieran Joyce, apparently according to the Echo Live, he's going to be a doubt for this game. And that's a huge loss at centre-back for Cork. Colossal, more than anything. And I don't think Cork will win the game. I'll be just straight up and saying, and I hope they do win it. But I just feel Limerick are just on another different planet to us at the moment. They're just an unreal team. And the thing is, though, if Cork played Limerick after the Clare game, I'd be more confident that Cork put out a result in this. But the fact is, they came off the back of a Tipperary game where they absolutely were like perfection and they performed brilliantly. So I just feel Limerick should win this game, and there's no doubts about that. But like the Cork forwards, they have to step up this game. It can't be just Patrick Horgan. Alan Connolly needs to get more of the ball in this. Will they start Shane Kingston from the very start? Remains to be seen. Brian Hayes didn't perform probably to the best of his ability last time. Darragh Fitzgibbon, will we start eating to be midfield, or will we go back to Tommy O'Connell? I just feel like the Clare game, Cork did a lot right. But I just feel at the last nitty-gritty stages, they did some things wrong. Conceivably as well, the sending off. And you could blame James Owens all you want. It was a red card for Sean O'Donoghue. I don't know what he's doing, stepping in front of Shane O'Donnell like that. There was no need for it. Cork can't have that stupidity in this game. It's as simple as that. No room for error in this. And even the goals that Dodd Logue actually highlighted on Sunday game highlight show, Cork did play well and the intensity was there, but just lapses in concentration moments. The Shane O'Donnell goal and the David Fitzgerald goal in particular, if Cork mark their men like that and leave spaces, they will get annihilated by Limerick. And there's no doubt about it, because Limerick are a better team than Clare. So, yeah, it's going to be a hard afternoon for Cork. It was always going to be the case. You know, scenario or no scenario, Limerick are an outstanding team. I just feel that Limerick are just on a different level to us at the moment, that they should win this game, but it will be tight. I think it'll be about 3 points. Limerick will struggle at parts of the game because of Cork's intensity. Well, you'd hope their intensity. This is the time for Cork to put their intensity on the table here. This is their championship lives on the line. If they bow down and you know, fold over to Limerick, like Waterford did to Clare last season, then it's going to be curtains. I don't think Cork will do that, though. I think it'll be a tight game. Limerick should win this by 2 or 3 points, but it's a crucial game for Cork. They need to step up and step up, you know, sharply.
Yeah, is the worry, though, for Cork that, like, so often over the last couple of years, they've played very well. Like, even going as far back as that qualifier game against Galway in 2022, like, I think that was the All-Ireland quarter final, and I remember, like, you had so many chances in that game, and I thought you played Galway off the park and still didn't come out and win the game. And then obviously last year in the Munster round robin, like, there was so many games there that were so close. There was obviously a good few draws. You obviously had the Limerick game at the end, which I think if you had a won, you would have gone into a Munster final, if I'm not mistaken there. So, like, I mean, it was like with Cork, like, you feel like they're doing so much right. They're given so much. Like, fair enough, I think the Waterford game earlier in the year, or the first game of the championship, was the one game where Cork really weren't at it and they got punished. There's no doubt about that. But like, you're looking at it and thinking Cork have been given so much. Like, is the worry that they've been given so much and not getting anything, that if they do, like, you feel like maybe there might be a dip in their performance coming up because they have actually been playing quite well, but not getting wins. Like, that is the kind of worrying part, I think, for Cork.
It might drain a bit of confidence off the players, and I see what you mean there. But as far as I'm concerned, the damage wasn't done in the Clare game. I think Clare are an outstanding team, and to lose that by a point, anything could do that. To score 324 is an outstanding score to get in any game. The damage was done in the Waterford game, in the first game of the league, in the group stage. Simple as that. Like, Cork should have beat Waterford. They're a better team than Waterford. And considering Waterford didn't perform to their utmost ability against Tipperary, that was a missed opportunity for Cork. So, like, it's a situation that I don't think the Cork public will turn on them for a poor performance against Limerick, because Limerick could do this to any team. There's no doubt about it. You just feel as well, and somebody made this point, I think, on social media in the past few weeks. Limerick have won two games. This is clutching at straws, but is there a chance that Limerick's performance could dip as well? Considering they've won the first two games, the shackles might be off, and they might think to themselves, okay, we might lay off a small bit and then go over hell for leather in the Waterford game, in the last game of the campaign, in the Gaelic grounds in front of our home fan base, against a Waterford team that we usually beat. That could be Limerick's mindset going into it. I hope it is, as a Cork fan, but I just don't think it will be. I think Limerick are just that sort of a team that don't let their levels drop. And John Coyley has a lot to answer for that. He's just an outstanding manager. And not only building such a great team around him, it's because of the temperament of these players that they are so great. So I just feel Limerick will get over the line in the game in this one. But there is, you know, the hope that kills you, Aaron. That Limerick could drop their level. You'd hope so. You'd hope they'd drop their level just for one game. Just for one game to allow us back into it. But I just don't see it happening. I just feel that Limerick will get this win over done with, and then the Waterford game, they might play a second team and just feel like, yeah, we'll play the second team and they get to the Munster final and go ahead and win this game now. Like, it's just in Limerick's DNA. So I just feel Limerick will have enough for them, but it's vital that if Cork are to survive for their championship campaigns, they have to put 100% into this game. It's as simple as that. There's no backing out now. Every shoulder, every blade of grass, everything has to be put out in the field for these Cork players. And yeah, they have to go by Owen Callaghan's speech on GAA go before the Clare game. If they provide more of that, there might be a chance that Cork pull the tables over in this. But Limerick are just an outstanding team, and it's hard to look past them winning this game. But it will be a full house. Will the Cork fans get behind them? Will it be enough to drive the players over the line? You'd hope so. You would hope so. I just feel this Limerick team are just on a different planet at the moment. And there's a different, not just in talent, but in mentality as well. And I just feel that will get Limerick over the line this one.
Yeah, for Limerick, though, like, we saw how well they were against Tipperary. Like, I mean, obviously, they turned it around hugely against Clare, as we very well know, and how well they performed that day. But obviously, against Tipperary, they were outstanding as well. Like, you have Aaron Glan playing some of, you know, he was hurler of the year last year, arguably one of the best hurlers in the country so far this year. Keane Lynch is obviously doing his stuff. You've got Cole Hayes, who's obviously back on the side, performing very well. Donegal Dalek coming off the bench. Obviously they won't have Peter Casey, but, like, all in all, like, Limerick have so much firepower, and you just wonder. Cork defensively, in my opinion, have really struggled. They really have, in terms of conceding goals against Waterford, against Clare. Like, so many defensive lapses, and you just feel like Limerick are so rootless. So it's going to be so hard to stop that very dynamic Limerick attack, I think.
What's going to be vital is who goes on who. Like, who goes on Aaron Gillan this one. I know we put Sean O'Donoghue on him last year, and it backfired badly. And I think, like, it's a tough one. Who actually goes on Gillan? Will we put Niall O'Leary on him? Will we put Rob Downey on him? Owen Downey? I would doubt Owen Downey will go on Aaron Gillan, considering he was only under 20 in the last few seasons, and there'd be a lot of pressure on the young lad. So, like, it's a difficult one. Who do you put on? And put on him, that's the million-dollar question. Midfield is going to be a massive battle. Darragh Fitzgibbon has to have the game of his life. Eaton Toomey, will he go into the midfield? With Darragh Donovan, he's most likely going to be back for this game. So to put Eaton Toomey in that position with Will O'Donoghue, Keane Lynch, Darragh Donovan around the middle of the park, it's going to be a big game for him. And it's his second big championship encounter. I know he's been playing well for the Bars in the club championship, but this is a different ball game for him. Yeah, it's a difficult one, and I do see your point on the forwards and the defenders point there. And it's going to be even more difficult if Kieran Joyce is out of the team. And if Kieran Joyce is out of the team, what do you do then? Do you put Eaton Toomey centre-back and put Tommy O'Connell midfield, or do you do vice versa? Do you put Tommy O'Connell centre-back, what he's been doing for Middleton in the club championship? Remains to be seen again. Rob Downey, Jamie Callahan, do you start him? There's so many, you know, ifs, buts and maybes about this, whereas Limerick are so settled on their team, even with Darryl Donovan coming back in. And that could be the thing that pushes Limerick over the line as well. So I'm trying my best to G up the car players and you're hoping that they go on and win it. But I just can't see anything other than Limerick win. Like Aaron Gillan, Gerald Hagerty, Tom Morrissey. It's hard to see who from the car team actually goes on these players and gets the game of his life out of this. So, yeah, it's going to be a difficult game to call. I just can't look past the Limerick winning this one.
Yeah, me neither. Like, I'm going to go for a 4-point win, I think, for Limerick. I think they will be too strong. And as we know, like, they have the options coming off the bench. You know, like, and we saw multiple occasions under John Coyley and Paul Kinnerk. If there are things that are going wrong, they'll find a way to turn it around. And I think it is the perfect scenario. Win this game, get into the Munster final, and then whatever happens against Waterford happens, they can rest and rotate, and they don't really have to worry about that game too much. So, yeah, going to go with a 4-point win for Limerick, but I do agree with you. I think it will be close. What points margin would you be looking at? 1 point? 1 point win for Limerick, 2 point win?
I'm going to go 2 points. 2 points to Limerick, but Cork have to produce something in this. If they don't, it could be a bit of a hiding. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, because I think as a Cork fan, like, you can accept losing the game, like, by 1 or 2 points, because it is against one of the best teams in the country, you know, that way. But I think if you were to get an absolute hammering, like, I think there would be massive, massive question marks asked of Cork. In fairness, we'll move on to the Leinster Hurling Championship. We have 2 games to look at here, Dublin Antrim and Carlow Kilkenny. Obviously, I don't have the league table, unfortunately, but the Leinster Hurling Championship is absolutely wide open. You've got 4 teams on 3 points currently. You've got 1 team on 2 points. Antrim are on 2 points. I think it's Dublin, Kilkenny, Galway and Wexford who are all on 3 points. So absolutely wide open. And Dublin Antrim, I mean, we'll have a bit of a chat about GAA and everything else and some of the controversies there that have been very much discussed across the board this week a little bit later on. But this game not being shown, which I'm very disappointed by, in fairness. Like, unfortunately, I won't be able to go to it. So I was kind of hoping to watch it. But yeah, like, it's a massive, massive shame that this isn't on TV. But look, it's a huge game because, like, whoever wins this takes a massive step towards getting out of the Leinster Championship. And I think it's going to be very close. Like, Antrim have given Dublin a fair good goals over the last couple of years. They came within a point of them in the league. They drew with them last year in the Championship as well. So this should be a very competitive, close game. And, like, Dublin might be marginally favourites, but especially after Antrim beating Wexford, you feel like Antrim could nearly pull off the win here. They won't fear Dublin by any stretch of the imagination.
They won't, and especially after the Wexford game as well, they kind of felt that they beat a better team than Dublin. But at the same time, I think James Scahill made this point on the hurling pod with Paul Murphy and Will O'Callaghan on Off the Ball, that Antrim kind of find home comfort when the likes of Wexford and Dublin come to Corrigan Park and they nearly beat them, or in fact beat them. You see that the league, Dublin got a last-minute goal to salvage a result in that one through a high-dropping ball, and Dublin were very lucky in that game. Like, I could see a shock happening in this one. I can. I think Antrim have the players to do so, and I do think the confidence is there after the Wexford game. I do think Dublin will win it, though, because of the fact they're at home. And Antrim struggle when they go to these grounds like Parnell Park, like Pearse Stadium, like Nolan Park, as shown in the Kilkenny game where they got absolutely annihilated in that one. So I just think Dublin will have enough. I think it'll be about 5 points in the end. But I think Antrim will definitely put it up to them. And let's not forget with Antrim as well. Even at the Wexford Park game last year against Wexford, Antrim only lost by, what was it, 5 or 6 points, I think it was, last season. So that there is a chance, and they drew against Dublin and Carrigan Park last season, so there is every chance that Antrim could pull off a result in this. Will it be on Saturday? I'm not sure. I just think Dublin will have enough to get over the line. I think Dublin are kind of a team that perform well in these games against Carlow, against Antrim, against Westmeath, against Wexford, where they do enough to get a win or a draw on them games, and they move on. And then Kilkenny and Galway, they flattered to deceive, and they're kind of on a level, kind of a pedestal. It's just hard to judge with Dublin, hard to judge with Dublin fans. Are they actually happy with this and things like that? But that's a discussion for another day. I just feel that Dublin will have enough in this one, but Antrim's test them all the way.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, because you get the feeling it's such an opportunity, obviously, with how certain results have gone, obviously, with Galway losing, with Wexford losing. Do you know, like, you feel like Dublin have a massive, massive opportunity to put themselves, obviously, through to, you know, or to take a massive step, obviously, and put themselves into the next round. You'd feel like with a big victory here. So you're going with a 5-point win for Dublin?
I am, yeah. And just as you mentioned that as well, there are only two games after this are Galway and Kilkenny. And Dublin historically do very, very poorly against those sides. So yeah, you feel like if Dublin lose this, they're screwed. So I just feel like Dublin, that would be enough motivation to get them off the line. Whereas Antrim as well, they aren't at home. And the fact they have Carlow later on in the campaign as well, I just feel that will tip it towards Dublin's favour in this.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd go with Dublin as well. I think, like, it's one of them where against Galway, maybe we could get something. But against Kilkenny, I think it would be very, very hard, in fairness, to get anything. And yeah, like, it is... Like, there is a scenario, the way things are going, that either one of these two could potentially end up in a Leinster final, like, with a win. It could set them up hugely. So that would be absolutely huge, no doubt about that. Other game, Carlow against Kilkenny. We've seen a lot of shocks, thrills and spills in Leinster so far this year, but surely we're not going to get any of that this time here. Like, I mean, Carlow, to be fair, had a good cut of Dublin, had a good cut of Galway. But I mean, Kilkenny are different gravy and they're a different animal altogether. And even with injuries and everything else, you'd fancy them to be way too strong here.
Yeah, you'd expect Kilkenny to win the game quite comfortably. And it'll be interesting actually to see Kilkenny's team. What will they put out? Will Adrian Mullen come back in there? Will Owen Cody be there? Mikey Carey, Owen Murphy, all them players. Will Owen Wall get a start? Will Jordan Malloy from Orlock and Gales get a start in this team? So there's a lot of, probably the biggest question is who Kilkenny will actually start and who will they bench and who will they give a chance to impress in the later stages of the All-Ireland Championship campaign. I don't think there's a question about the result. I think Kilkenny should win this comfortably. But I will say it is great that Carlow are getting showing on GAA goal, I think, yeah. Because there is a complaint from Carlow fans in particular that their games against Dublin and Galway were only reports, and Carlow put up a Trojan amount of work in those performances in particular. And for that to be rewarded with a GAA appearance, I think it's great for Carlow hurling. And to win the Joe McDonagh as well last season is another big step towards that as well. But I think Kilkenny should win this relatively comfortably. I'm going to go 15 plus.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, that kind of brings me on to the next topic of conversation, really, which is obviously centred around GAA Go and obviously the controversy that surrounds it, obviously, since it was brought in a couple of years ago, or brought in really last year as a main sort of replacement, obviously, for the games being on Sky. And I agree with you. I think it's great that Carlow Kilkenny is on. We can watch it. And I think it's good that it's on GAA Go. I think it's a game that maybe would be good for GAA Go. I think Dublin Antrim will be a good game for GAA Go. But I think the big argument really is that the likes of Cork and Limerick, the likes of Waterford versus Cork, the likes of Cork versus Clare as an example, like, these games haven't been on free-to-air television. They've been on GAA Go. And as we know, look, GAA Go is obviously behind the paywall. You have to get a subscription, which I think is around about €80, depending on if you get the early bird package or whatever, it might be cheaper. But generally, it's in and around that for most people. And then obviously you factor in as well that, obviously, in a lot of parts of the country, certain people can't get access to GAA Go. Like, it's not accessible in certain parts of the country because of internet connection and everything else. And obviously, the elderly don't always know how to work it and everything else. It's not exactly clear maybe for them. And I feel like, in general, like, when it comes to, like, your best products or the best things that you have available, you want to get them seen by the most amount of people as possible. And I think in the GAA, we probably do have too many, if we were to look at them as products, trophies, tournaments, competitions that are maybe not the best viewing for a casual fan. Let's say the Leinster Football Championship springs to mind as an example. Certain provincial championships, I think, are very one-sided. The Munster Hurling Championship is as good as it gets, really, in Gaelic games. Like, it goes down to the wire. There's so much on the line. Every game means everything, really. And you're very rarely ever going to get a one-sided game there. Obviously, Limerick-Tipperary, we did. But generally speaking, you very, very rarely will get that going into games. So, like, the fact that the best games are not getting shown on RTE, I do think is very disappointing, because for casual fans who, and let's not forget, like not every fan who watches hurling or football are going to be diehard fans. And I know this from people who tune into this channel sometimes, because sometimes they might be casual fans and they'll tune in for the odd game. Not everyone is diehard fans. So not everyone is going to pay for GA Go just so they can watch every game. So I think you're missing out on casual fans as well. Like, getting to see a Waterford versus Tipperary and then being like, you know what, that was a great game, I'm going to come back for the next one. So yeah, where do you stand? Like, obviously a lot of talk on this on social media and everything else.
There has been, and a lot of people have actually defended RTE, and a few people have gone on about it and things like that. What I will say, first of all, to defend RTE and GAA Go, particularly GAA Go, when you actually watch the coverage, I think the analysis and the ideas there are actually one of the best that I've seen out of Sky, TV3 and RTE. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think the analysts are really good. I think the reporters are good. Granny McElwain's an excellent presenter. Dave McIntyre is very good at commentating as well. Now, I do think GAA Go is a very good way to go, and the way they actually analyse games as well. I was at the Kerry game, which GAA Go coincidentally were covering, and what the analysts actually did was they went all over the field to pick up angles in the game. I think Paddy Andrews, Breed Stack and Mark O'Shea were on then, and they were just looking all over the pitch seeing, okay, this guy's on this and things like that. And it was actually brilliant for the game, more or less. As for RTE, there is a contract there, to be fair to them. They only are obliged to show 31 games or in the round that across the calendar of Gaelic games. And that is in the contract for Gaelic games. And as well in the contract that provincial finals have to be on RTE. And that's why the Leinster final and things like that. I know it's not the best for everybody, and it won't be the best for either of us too, because we know the results before going in. But that's the problem with the Leinster Council. They need to fix a problem with the Leinster Championship there. And as well as that, you have to think about other interests as well. There are other interests happening across the planet and things like that. Like on RTE in particular, you have comedy shows. This weekend in particular, you have the Eurovision Song Contest, which Ireland are in the final, by the way. James Cook, best of the Bobby talking that. But for GAA fans, I do get, and this is the arguments and things like that, I do get the arguments about online. People don't have online. I know elderly myself down in Cork that do not have a Wi-Fi box, and they love Gaelic games, and they can't watch Cork and Limerick on Saturday evening unless they get a ticket to Parky Heath, which, to be fair, is going to be impossible in its own right because the stadium's going to be full. So you need to have like clubs showing games on GAA Go. You need pubs to show GAA Go and things like that. I think there was one of my local pubs that actually showed a game on GAA Go, Cork against Clare, in the last few weeks, so maybe they have access to GAA Go. And what GAA Go actually did well was they gave free access to hospitals to put games on the TV there, which was great. I think it was great, to get the people that were obviously poorly in hospitals to watch these games for free. And I think that was brilliant in its own right. But the main point in this, if you're living in the hills of Mayo, if you're living in the Burren in County Clare, you are not going to get GAA Go and free-flowing Wi-Fi. That's the problem with it. And another thing as well, the cast button doesn't seem to work on the app either, which is annoying for some fans. I know it's annoying for me because I have to watch it constantly on the tablet or the laptop or possibly on the phone. I can't cast it on the TV, which is kind of a concern, but it's not a major concern, if you know what I mean. But from an RT standpoint, I think the way they advertise Gaelic games, I think, is way under par. And when you look over the last few weeks in particular, this is a prime example of this. The Saturday game is only coming back this season in 2024, this Saturday. Why couldn't they bring that in April sometime? When there was loads of games on and you could discuss other aspects of the week and things like that, news of the week segments and stuff like that, Sunday show, rather than cramming all of Saturday and Sunday's action in April. Why are you doing that? Like, it's just making the work harder for yourself. It's as simple as that. And another thing as well, I know I put out a tweet on this in regards to the football games on televised and things like that. Next weekend, across the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship and the Tottenham Cup, there are 12 games. Three of them are shown on GAA Go, none on RTE. That's 25% of games are. To me, that is really, really poor in growing the game. And I look it towards another sporting organisation in this country, the League of Ireland. They have a platform called LOI TV. You can watch First Division games or Premier Division games all on that subscription service. I think it's relatively cheap as well. I think it's under €100 for the whole season to watch every single game that isn't on RTE or Virgin Media, which is a brilliant deal. And I think the GAA need to think of that as well. And you look at rugby, for example, the URC. You can't get away from it. There's Munster, Connacht. There's games between Leinster and the Stormers. There was the Leinster game last weekend in Croke Park in the Champions Cup. You have Champions League games on in soccer. You could watch that anywhere on Sky Sports and things like that. Whereas with our own national sport and Gaelic games, for example, and you provide a brilliant example in Leinster Championship, you cannot watch Dublin Antrim on TV or GAA Go. And to me, that is a disgrace, considering the implications behind the games for Dublin and Antrim, both of them. I do think the way forward in this, if you're going to use GAA Go, which is a brilliant service, by the way, but it can be improved, I think show every single game. Show every game in the All-Ireland Championship, in the All-Ireland Hurling Championship, in the Tartan Cup, in the Joe McDonagh as well. And I do think club are doing very well on that. And what I would suggest as well for club are, try and show Christy Ring, Laurie Marr, Nicky Racker Cups. And as well as that, grow the game. Because Peter Fortune was on earlier, the Loud captain, and I posted that on my Instagram, and he was all over Twitter and providing a brilliant thread earlier today. And you might remember in Allianz League Sunday earlier on the year, he was on with Joe Fortune talking about the future of hurling. And it seems like ever since that show, RT or GAA Go haven't done anything to promote hurling in general. When you look at it, and this is a prime example of this, last weekend, there was the Joe McDonagh Cup. There was a pretty empty schedule. There was two provincial finals, Wexford-Galway, Tipperary and Waterford. That was it in the senior competitions. RTE only showed a highlights package of one game, Leitrim and Kerry. They didn't show Westmead and Down, and they did not show the other game involving Offaly and Meath. To me, like, that's a disrespect to the Joe McDonagh Cup. And you look at it, if RTE are going to show on the Sunday game all the Tartan Cup games, that's an indication to me that they do not care about lower tier hurling, and they don't care about the Christy Ring, the Nicky Rackard, the Laurie Marr as well. I'm trying to grow it on my page. I try to do roundups and things like that of scores and things like that for the Christy Ring, the Laurie Marr, the Nicky Rackard. I try my best with the information I have been given. But it's just a shame that RTE don't show these games even on highlight packages. It's almost like they don't care about these games. They're almost like, okay, Tipperary and Tyrone in London is on in the Christy Ring Cup. Oh, no, we don't care about that. We won't bother putting this on. We'll talk about, you know, structures in cool camps this week on the Sunday game. To me, that's a disgrace. If you're going to show Sunday game highlight show, show the games. As Will O'Callaghan rightly said on X in the last few weeks and from Off the Ball, show the games. That's what highlights programs are for. Show them. It's as simple as that. And I think the game could be grown a lot better than it is at the moment, like rugby, like soccer. Take the leaf out of that book and drive on with it. That's my thing about GAA Go. There are some positives, like the pundits and stuff on GAA Go, but there are the negatives, like, of course, the broadband and stuff like that, and the fact they don't show every game, which the LOI TV do. And I think that's something the GAA Go can take forward and improve in promoting Gaelic games.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think you nailed the head on it there. Like, and I think, yeah, like, obviously, because we saw Peter Fortune obviously coming out earlier, like Loud Hurler obviously asking like why is there no promotion of the Christy Ring, of the Laurie Marr, of the Nicky Rackard? Like obviously the Tailteann Cup got its own launch day, whereas those tournaments unfortunately didn't get that. So it is very unfortunate. It certainly is gonna rumble on. There's absolutely no doubts about that. And I do agree with you. I think GA Go has a lot of good benefits. I think it does do a lot of things right. But I think the problem with it is that we're not, a lot of the time, we're still not seeing what we want to see. And I think this whole thing of, yeah, fair enough, RTE and it's a contract and everything else have shown certain games. But, right, well, let's start a new contract then. Let's, you know what I mean, let's try and rectify the issue for, you know, years ahead. And I know a lot of these deals and everything usually get done for 2-3 years or whatever. But I think it's something they need to look at. I think it's definitely something they need to look at because, as I was saying on sports show during the week as well, like I think football and hurling is going into a bad place. Like our best games are not being shown. There's certain games that aren't being shown at all. You have ticket prices going through the roof. You've some games that are completely one-sided that are over before you even know it. So yeah, look, I think there is a lot for them to fix in fairness. There are some lower tier games, so we'll just run through them before we finish up, because we've obviously been going on here for long enough. But the Christy Ring, you've got Derry versus London, Tyrone versus Kildare, and Wicklow versus Sligo. I think the big one that stands out there, really, Derry versus London. I mean, London have won 3 games on the bounce in the Christy Ring so far. So what a win it would be for them if they could pull this off and set up a bit of a grand finale against Kildare in a couple of weeks' time.
I think, I haven't looked at the mathematics of this, but I think if London and Kildare both win this weekend, that's confirmed them in the Christy Ring final. And essentially, it is a dress rehearsal for the final in Croke Park. So, like, it is a big one considering London are away from home against Derry, a Derry team that did win Division 2B in the Allianz League. So, like it's going to be a tough one for the likes of Owen Shield, the likes of Ronan Crowley, Jack Goulding, who's been in very good form, but Cormac O'Doherty, he has produced a very good performance for Derry to go on and win it. But I would fancy London to win the game. I think the momentum is there with them at the moment, and I do think London will go over the line. I think Kildare should beat Tyrone quite comfortably, and I think Sligo will have enough to beat Wicklow. I think Andy Kilcullen's a brilliant player, Gerard O'Quelly Lynch is as well for Sligo, so I think Sligo will win that game, and you'd be looking towards London and Kildare final, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's a massive opportunity for London, in fairness, and you would fancy Kildare obviously to get over the line against Tyrone. I suppose looking down at the Nicky Rackard, then you've obviously got Mayo versus Armagh, Roscommon versus Donegal, and Monaghan versus Louth. What would you reckon with these ones? Like, I suppose looking at it there, Donegal are obviously in a very good position at the moment with 6 points. But to be fair, Roscommon are right on their heels, so like that's a massive game.
It is, and Roscommon definitely have a lot of confidence going to this one. They beat Armagh the last day up by just a point. They got a winning point in the last minute of the game. So they will go into confidence, and their tails will be up. But Donegal have some excellent performers at the moment. Like Lee McKinney is very good. You have Jory Gilmore. You have Decky Coulter. So Donegal do have the talent to get over the line. I think they will do in the end. They should win this game. So that'll make it 4 wins out of 4. I would expect Mayo to be in the final with them. Like, they do have some good players from Tyrone from the club championship. They do have Cormac Phillips, who's an excellent hurler there. Like, yeah, I think Keith Higgins is doing a lot of work behind the scenes with the Mayo hurlers there as well. So I would expect Mayo to win that game. And Louth and Monaghan, that's, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that might be a relegation dogfight, that particular game. It's a tough one to call. I think Louth probably have much more experience at this level than Monaghan do. Monaghan only came up from the Laurie Marr, so I'd back Louth to win that game. So yeah, I'd expect Mayo and Donegal to win those games and get one step closer to the Nicky Rackard final.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think, I think both Roscommon and Donegal both in great places. You'd fancy Mayo, obviously, to win, and the winner of Donegal, Roscommon, will set themselves up brilliantly for a final, potentially. Laurie Marr, you've got Fermanagh against Lancashire, Cavan versus Longford, and Leitrim versus Warwickshire. Obviously, as we said before, you don't get to see very much of these games, so it's very hard to preview them and everything else. But Fermanagh are going strong there at the moment, so you'd fancy them to continue that anyway versus Lancashire.
And what's impressive about Fermanagh, like, a lot of people have gone on about Luca Bocuster and what a brilliant hurler he is, and he needs to be shown on RT and things like that, and that is true and things like that. And he is an excellent hurler, no doubt about it. But there are players that have stepped up for Fermanagh other than him. Danny McHugh has been outstanding in the full forward line, as has Sean Corrigan in wing forward. So there are players in the Fermanagh team that could turn it on at this level. So I'm going to go for Fermanagh to win that game. I expect Cavan to probably join them in the final. There are some good trends in Cavan at this present moment in time. But Canis Maher is coming from Kilkenny, so he adds a lot of experience from a traditional hurling county. In Kilkenny, so I'd expect the two Ulster rivals, Cavan and Fermanagh, to get to that final in the end. And Leitrim against Warwickshire, I think, is the last game, as I said, that last game there. I expect Leitrim to win that game, so I'm going to go for Leitrim there. But I think Cavan and Fermanagh should make the final there.
Yeah, I think so as well. In fairness, before we finish up, then, in terms of player of the week in football and hurling and bet of the week.
In football, I go player of the week, player to watch. It's a tough one. I'm probably going to go for Dara O'Boyle from Donegal. Two goals so far in the championship. He has the capacity to fire, so I think he's definitely one to watch from a Donegal point of view. Just a word in the under-20s as well. Eamon Armstrong from Meath up against Kerry in the under-20s. Watch out for this guy playing a wing back for Meath. Definitely a guy to watch in the years ahead. And as for a shock of the week, I'm going to actually go, I think it's worth putting a punt on Carlo beating Laois because of the history that Carlo have gotten the Talton Cup, so I'm going to go for Carlo. Well, I think Laois will win the game as a prediction, but I think Carlo is definitely worth a shout and winning that game. And as for hurling, I think for bet of the week or shock of the week, I'd probably go for Antrim to beat Dublin, even though I think they'll be the closest call, but I'm going to go for Antrim to beat Dublin. Dublin to win the end, but like Antrim is definitely worth a punt. And for player to watch, it's tough. Probably go for Limerick player because of Peter Casey's absence. I'm going to go for Seamus Flanagan. I think he might produce the goods in Parky Keith during the week.
Yeah, I think for me, for about player of the week in football, hurling, I think football, I go Stephen Campbell. Hurling, I think I'll go William O'Donoghue. I think both of them will both have big games. And in terms of, yeah, bet of the week, I probably agree with you as well. I think if there is going to be a shock, maybe Antrim beating Dublin, I think, is one you could look towards because I do think that will be very close. And in football, yeah, it's kind of a hard one. I don't know what you'd get in Longford beating Kildare, but given Kildare are an absolute free fall at the moment, maybe I'd look towards something happening there. But yeah, look, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up here. Matthew from the Gaelic Statsman podcast, thank you very much for joining me. Make sure to check out his podcast when you get a chance. And yeah, anyone who tuned in, if you could hit the like button and subscribe, that'd be absolutely brilliant. We're closing in on 5,000 subscribers, so be an absolutely great achievement to get there very soon. So, yeah, anyone who tuned in, we will catch you all in the next one. Oh, we're still here. We haven't left yet.